4 years before, many of Paris's richest and most privileged residents had begun fleeing the capital. The Duke of Windsor, Prince George of Greece, Princess Winnie de Polignac, and her niece Daisy Fellows, the heiress to the singer's sewing fortune, had all departed. The Aga Khan set out for Switzerland. Peggy Guggenheim stored her art collection in a friend's barn and drove away in her Talbot, in the direction of the Haute-Savoie ski resort of Megève. Not far behind were a number of writers, painters, and artists who had turned the City of Light into what New York Times art critic Harold Rosenberg called the laboratory of the 20th century. James Joyce left for a village outside Vichy before continuing into Zurich. Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas departed for Culoz, near Annecy. Marc Chagall, Henri Matisse, René Magritte, and Vasily Kandinsky headed south. Vladimir Nabokov secured the last ocean liner to New York. Walter Benjamin hiked across a mountain passageway into Spain, but made it no further than Porbou, where he committed suicide at age 48. The scale of departures from the French capital had accelerated in May 1940 with the Nazi invasion of Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands. On the afternoon of June 3rd, when the air raid sirens began to wail, the Luftwaffe pounded the Renault and Citroën factories, the bombs also falling onto the air ministry on Boulevard Victor. The one-hour raid left a trail of street craters, massive piles of rubble, and a block of apartment buildings looking, as journalist Alexander Wirth put it, like a badly cut piece of cheddar. 254 people had been killed and another 652 injured. As the Nazi Wehrmacht advanced closer to the capital, nearly encircling it from the north, the east, and the west, the exodus soon reached epic proportions. Trains were booked far beyond capacity, forcing many Parisians to leave by motor car, truck, horse-drawn cart, hearse, or any other contraption. More often, residents fled on foot, pushing selected personal belongings from mattresses to birdcages onto bicycles, motorcycles, prams, wheelbarrows, ox carts, hay wains, coffee vendor carts, virtually anything with wheels. Legions of refugees struggled under the hot summer sun against almost completely blocked roads, under the occasional strafing of the Luftwaffe and, after Mussolini declared war on June 10th, the attacks of Italian planes. Automobiles were abandoned for lack of gasoline. Rumors thrived in the oppressive climate of heat and hunger, feeding on the painful memories of the First World War and the feelings of uncertainty that swirled around the present crisis. No one knew when or if they would be able to return home. Of France's 40 million people, an estimated 6 to 10 million inhabitants clogged the roads. Paris saw its population fall from nearly 3 million to about 800,000. The mass exodus was replicated in cities all over northern and eastern France as the population headed south or southwest. The pilot and future author of The Little Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, peering down from his observation mission on the 233 reconnaissance squadron, thought that the mass movements looked like a boot had scattered an anthill, sending the unfortunate refugees dispersing without panic, without hope, without despair, on the march as if in duty bound. Beginning on June 9th, the French government itself fled the capital, heading south, first to Orléans, and then to the Château of the Loire, the leaders retreated to Bordeaux. 5 days after their flight, the first German motorcyclists reached Paris, rolling into the Place Voltaire from the northern suburbs of Saint-Denis. By the early afternoon, the Nazi Wehrmacht had staged the first of its daily marches, goose-stepping to drum and fife down an otherwise silent Avenue des Champs-Élysées. "There never has been anything like the eerie atmosphere in Paris," Robert Murphy observed from his office at the United States Embassy on the Place de la Concorde. At least 16 people in Paris took their own lives that day. The neurosurgeon and head of the American hospital, Comte Thierry de Martel stuck his arm with a syringe filled with strychnine. Novelist Ernst Weiss, Franz Kafka's friend, swallowed a large amount of barbiturates, but when this overdose failed to have its intended effect, he slashed his wrists, dying 24 hours later. The 64-year-old concierge at the Pasteur Institute, Joseph Meister, shot himself in the head rather than obey the German invaders. He had been the first person cured of rabies by Louis Pasteur. Many Parisians were in shock. What the German army under the Kaiser had failed to do in 4 years of vicious slaughter in the First World War had been accomplished under Adolf Hitler in 6 weeks. France had suffered the most humiliating defeat in its history. Worse, however, was to come.